When the last wave of enlargement took place for the European Union, one of the countries that was admitted was, of course, Cyprus. There were two Mediterranean islands of the 10 countries that joined the EU in 2004, of which one was Malta and the other one was Cyprus. Now, at the time, I remember when the build-up to enlargement, I remember thinking, how can Cyprus be admitted to the European Union when the question has still not been resolved as to the island's independence? As you may know, the island of Cyprus is divided into two. It's divided into a Greek Cypriot south and a northern Turkish part. And the two sides do not see eye to eye and haven't done so for the best part of 30 years at this time. So I really didn't understand how Turkey could join the EU when it's where Cyprus could join the EU before it had solved this problem. Many people were at the time talking about problems of countries in Central and Eastern Europe to do with their economies and meeting the strict criteria for all the chapters pertaining to accession. But I thought that this was more of a fundamental problem, more of a political problem, rather than an economic one, and one which I really couldn't see any solution being found for in the near future. But how wrong I was, because Cyprus did join the European Union in 2004, along with the 9 other countries, and it did not seem to be a problem that, in fact, the island was divided. The EU strategy vis-a-vis Cyprus was that a decision would be found in the long term, but that Cyprus could be allowed into the club, as it were, in the meantime, on the understanding that efforts would be made to integrate the two parts and to find some kind of solution. Now, Cyprus has been in the news recently because of its problematic division. The country has been split ever since 1974, when Turkey invaded the country. It did so because Greek Cypriots, as I said, who predominantly in the south part of the island, staged a military coup in 1974, and they had the backing of Greece at the time. And as I'm sure you know, Greece and Turkey are not the best of friends at the best of times. And the Turks retaliated by invading Cyprus, and they sent the Turkish army in. Cyprus became a flashpoint, a very tense conflict was begun there, and the United Nations sent in peacekeepers who have been on the ground in Cyprus ever since. So that is since 1974, so now 32 years. The Turkish have followed a policy of settlement in northern Cyprus, whereby Turks from the mainland, namely from Anatolia, have been encouraged to cross over to Cyprus and to populate the northern part of the island to boost the number of Turks there. The island is divided into two. You have the Republic of Cyprus in the south and also the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus in the north. Now, the southern part of the island is recognised as the state of Cyprus internationally, whereas the enclave of Northern Cyprus, with the rather snappy name of the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, has only been recognised internationally by the grand total of one country. And there's no surprises for who has recognised it, but of course, Turkey. The enclave in the Northern Cyprus has been subject to a trade embargo for years, and this has been much to the detriment of this part of the island's development. Another really thorny issue has been that of property. Property owned in northern Cyprus by Greek Cypriots, who were then forcibly moved south after the division of the island, has been confiscated by Turkish Cypriots, and in some cases sold on to unwitting British tourists, for example, who are looking to buy a holiday home in the sun. But of course, the property sale is illegal because the land or house did not belong in the first place legally to the Turkish in northern Cyprus. So if the island is ever reunited, there will be numerous claims from Greek Cypriots who want their property restored. Another very contentious issue has been that of Turkey and its ports and airports. Turkey has refused entry to its ports and airports to Greek Cypriot vessels and airplanes. This is true both in the Turkish enclave of northern Cyprus and mainland Turkey. The EU has been negotiating with Turkey vis-a-vis its possible accession, and this had become, by last week, one of the main stumbling blocks preventing negotiations from continuing. It looked like this issue, that of access to ports and airports, was going to be the one issue that effectively blocked Turkey's negotiations with the EU. That was until last Thursday, when Turkey surprisingly, and much to the surprise of those negotiating with it, offered to open up one of its ports and an airport to Cyprus. This would, in effect, most probably satisfy the EU's demands of opening up access to the Greek part of Cyprus. Now, why is this important? Well, of course, the members of the EU have to abide by the treaties of the European Union, and these treaties have to, of course, ensure that there is free movement of goods and services and people throughout the European Union. And if one member state is denied access, then this means that the treaties are not being adhered to. So Turkey would not be acting in a constitutional manner, if you like, or in a legal manner, if it did indeed want to become part of the EU. So it would appear that Turkey is prepared to make this concession and allow Greek Cypriot shipping and airplanes to enter ports and airports in Turkish territory. The question is, can this lead in the long term to some kind of solution for the island of Cyprus? And what will this mean for Turkey and its bid to join the European Union? I think Turkey's offer last week was more of a, you could say, a cynical move, and almost the bare minimum that it was prepared to do to satisfy the European Union's negotiators. As I said, it's only offered to open up one port and one airport to Greek Cypriot vessels and airplanes, whereas it has not said that it has opened up all of its harbours and airports. And this would be, of course, the proper thing to do. So is Turkey just trying to do the bare minimum, and this is not in any way done through a feeling of solidarity or Europeanness? Very recently, Pope Benedict visited Turkey and tried to bridge the gap between the Catholic Church and Islam and the Turkish nation as well. He had made some very controversial statements a while ago about the nature of Islam. And so this was a fence-mending mission for the Catholic Church. I think the European Union must also do the same with Turkey. It must try and mend the fences. If the Turkish accession to the EU is to happen. We look upon Turkey as if Turkey is the one in the wrong. Now, of course, the Turkish invasion of Cyprus all those years ago was, in our view, incorrect and illegal. But we have to admit that European Union relationships with Turkey have often discriminated against the country. Let me just point out that Turkey first applied to be an associate member of the European Union, so not a full member, but an associate member, back in 1959, so right there, almost at the beginning of the European Union as we know it. It has been an associate ever since 1963. It then asked for full membership in 1987, so some 20 odd years ago. And finally, negotiations for accession began in 2005. So you can see that there's a process of some 45 years, roughly, between its first proposal for associate membership and then negotiations being opened for its full membership. In the meantime, it has seen many countries, in fact 21 new countries, join the European Union. It may even be beaten to European Union membership by five other countries from the Balkan region. And two of these countries have very large Muslim populations. So we could be accused here in the European Union of showing distrust and dishonesty towards Turkey. But of course, none of this denies the challenges that Turkey poses for the European Union. If it was a member, Turkey would be physically the largest nation in the EU. It's twice the size of Germany. Its membership would propel the borders of the European Union from the Danube, as they stand roughly at the moment, all the way almost to the Euphrates. Within a few years, the population in Turkey will be more than in any other European Union member state. Yet, at the same time, Turkey would be among the poorest of the European Union member states and its citizens the least skilled. In the United Nations Development Plan, the Human Development Index, Turkey ranks 92nd. Now, that is well below every other European nation, including Albania. And the main issue is that of corruption. Corruption remains a nationwide problem in Turkey. And in this light, Turkey is more a Middle East country than a European one. This raises the issue of whether or not Turkey is a European country. But let's look at the evidence. It must be said, on the periphery of Europe, but so too is Britain. Turkey participates in the Eurovision Song Contest, in theory a contest for European nations. And Turkish football teams compete in European competitions, such as the Champions League. In fact, the final of the Champions League was staged 2 years ago in Istanbul. And yet people are saying that Turkey is not a European nation. So there remains this fundamental division over Turkey. However, Turkey is changing, and it's changed a great deal in recent years. In the past 5 years, the Turkish economy has grown by a third. At present, this year's growth rate stands at 8%. The country is becoming rapidly urbanized, especially in Anatolia, which used to be an exceedingly poor part of Turkey. It used to be, you could compare it to Kosovo, but now some parts of it resemble Ireland in terms of development. And all this in under a generation. Under Prime Minister Erdogan, Turkey has really taken a great leap forward. It's dealt with issues such as human rights abuses, if not completely eliminated them, but it has addressed the problem, as well as corruption as well. And although a Muslim state, Turkey can be praised for having a secular state apparatus. But at the moment, Turkey's entry into the EU is being blocked by its attitude towards Cyprus. It seems that Turkey will, at present, and if things carry on in this way, never recognise the state of Cyprus as it stands. It will never recognise the Greek Cypriot Republic of Cyprus, and it will always support the Turkish enclave to the islands in the north of the island. Now, hopefully, this concession that we've seen in terms of ports and airports is one step towards an understanding on Cyprus. But hopefully, some kind of solution can be found. I hope that the EU member states who are negotiating with Turkey do not use the Cyprus question as a pretext to block Turkey's entrance into the EU, because many European Union member states prefer to hide behind this pretext. Public opinion is against Turkey entering the EU. In 15 of the EU's 25 states, especially in Austria and especially in France and Germany as well. In fact, Austrians have said that they are still traumatized by what happened in 1683 at the Siege of Vienna. A referendum has been proposed in Austria, but the likely outcome, if polls are to be believed at present, is 6-1 against. In France, a referendum is likely to be held as well, and opponents to Turkey's accession are in the lead there by 15%. So the real problem, I think, lies not with Turkey, but with us and our views in the EU. We should decide once and for all if we want Turkey to be in the EU or not, and not hide behind the question of Cyprus. As I've tried to show you, Turkey has been applying for membership of the EU for the last 45 years, and I do not think it's fair to string them along any further, especially as they have been making a huge effort in terms of their fight against corruption and human rights abuses and reforms to the country's judicial system, especially. So I hope I've not bored you too much with Cyprus, and I would be happy to answer any questions.